Coming up on today's show,
My son was at the rink with me, and he was more interested in folding laundry and towels with the trainers than watching me shoot on one of the best goalies in the world. But he just loved coming to work with me. That's all he cared about. He was just around dad.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. Below my picture, near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a white button that says Join Our Facebook Group. Tap or click on that to get taken there. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce at CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now onto my ministry moment for this episode. Do you actually think pro athletes stop focusing on their sport just because it's the off season? Feeling that it is as simple as flipping a light switch is naive as it relates to athletes completely ignoring the sport that they make a living at just because their team is done playing until the next training camp comes around. After all, unless they win the championship, they surely continue watching their league's playoff games. While teammates might get together for, say, a round of golf or even just a backyard barbecue, they are always going to talk about the sport they have devoted their lives to. What a terrific mentality for us to have as Christians, meaning never having a downtime when we feel we do not need to talk about our faith as much, say because it's ordinary time and not Advent or Lent, for example. In the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, in the New International Version, as if considering sports, says, quote, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction," end quote. Or to read it from the New American Bible, "Proclaim the word, be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a defenseman who played in 12 games for the National Hockey League's Tampa Bay Lightning this season, picking up one assist and finishing with a +1, +minus rating. He also played in 33 games with and was captain of the Syracuse Crunch of the American Hockey League, recording 6 assists and finishing as a +10 with them. He had been a second-round draft choice, 42nd overall, of the New Jersey Devils back in the 2013 NHL draft. In total, he has played in 136 regular season games in the NHL, having also seen action with the St. Louis Blues, Nashville Predators, and of course New Jersey. He helped the United States win a silver medal at the 2012 Under-17 World Hockey Challenge and was named the best defenseman at the 2013 Under-18 World Championship when the U.S. won silver. He played his college hockey at Boston College. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Stephen Santini.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You bet. You bet. Stephen, you have moved around a lot in your hockey career, but where did it all begin for you? Meaning, where were you born and raised, and what was the family size?
Yes, it's been quite an adventure, but I was born and raised in Mayapack, New York, and I had three sisters. I was the only boy.
I'm going to take a guess and that say Long Island is where that might be.
We're actually like northern Westchester, southern Putnam County, kind of by the Connecticut border over there. So
Ah, okay.
probably like 45 minutes to an hour north of the city.
Okay. Was this a Catholic household you were raised in? What was the faith life like in the Santini household when you were a young boy?
Yes, so my dad was your traditional Italian Catholic family from the Bronx. He went to Catholic school all the way through high school and everything. So he was an important part of instilling the Catholic lifestyle into all of us. And me and my sisters all went to Catholic high school, so he was a big part of that.
I read that you played in the Quebec International Pee Wee Hockey Tournament at the age of just 12. So, was hockey the only sport you played as a young boy? And I guess, regardless of your answer, who or what got you started into the sport in the first place?
Well, that is definitely some good journalism to find. Yes, I did play in that tournament when I was 12. We did well. It was a very fun experience. Probably one of my first big hockey tournament experiences. They have games on the Canadian ESPN for 12-year-olds. It's a very cool experience. So I did play in that. And my dad actually played college hockey for the University of Maine. So he grew up, we loved sports, hockey, baseball, football, and he actually owns one of the biggest, one of the bigger rinks in our area, the Brewster Ice Arena. And I grew up playing there around the small family business run enterprise there. And yeah, I was just around the game all the time and fell in love with it.
But you mentioned a couple other sports that you loved. Did you play them or you just were a fan and it was hockey only participation wise?
No, I played baseball up until pretty much halfway through high school. I kind of had to devote my time to hockey, but I really liked baseball. I played it competitively. It was a sport I still like. And then I probably stopped football around a little earlier around middle school just to focus on the falls and mainly be hockey.
Okay. What was it like to be only 17 or 18 years old and be not only such a highly rated prospect, you were being projected as a first round selection in the NHL draft, but training with the U.S. Hockey National Team Development Program and going to Russia and being named the tournament's best defenseman at the World Under 18 Championships? I would think at that age, everything, your faith, your family, maybe your friends, take a back seat and it all just becomes about hockey. Yes? Or were you able to strike a healthy balance?
I would like to think I was able to strike a healthy balance. I think for me, leaving home as a 16-year-old is certainly challenging on its own. But as a preteen, I developed a strong level of faith, whether it was going to church or, daily prayer, do Bible readings, kind of whatever it was. I was kind of into it. And ironically, when I moved out there, my junior year of high school to play with the U.S. development team in Ann Arbor, Michigan, I actually didn't have a car. But by the chance of God, I was actually walking distance from a Catholic church. So I was able to go to church most weekends. And I always thought that was just a cool thing that, God's always got you in mind. And I just find it was just kind of perfect place, perfect timing. And I wouldn't say it was too challenging. I think that you have your hands full on and off the ice there. But for me, religion was a big part of my life, especially when I was a teenager.
Okay, Stephen, grab a cold drink. Audience, grab a cold drink. Bruce, take a deep breath. This is a big, long question, but if I have this in the right order, Stephen, you got drafted by the New Jersey Devils, played at Boston College, were named to the Hockey East All-Rookie Team, went to Sweden to play for the U.S. at the World Junior Championship, came back and resumed playing with Boston College, only to get shut down 4 games into the season due to a wrist injury. So I have to believe that that kind of roller coaster ride could perhaps test your faith. God, you know I'm trying to get my pro career started and get going in the NHL, yet here I am on the sidelines injured. I know you picked Boston College, by the way, in part because it was a Jesuit institution. So was that at all a conversation you were having with God, wanting him to get you not only back out on the ice with Boston College, but breaking into the NHL sooner than later? Because for that matter, your Boston College team also came out on the losing end of a Frozen Four semifinal game, which had to challenge you emotionally as well.
Yeah, wow, Bruce, you're doing a lot of good homework on these questions. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would say that particular injury at that particular part of my life, I wouldn't say it challenged my faith but it was definitely the first adversity, through your athletic career. I've gone through a lot, but that was probably the first thing. Up until that point, most things, I don't want to say have been given to me, but I made every team. I got the awards. That was kind of the first time I was like, okay, I was injured. I missed a big chunk of time for Boston College. I had missed World Juniors because you're supposed to play 2 years, your freshman, sophomore year, and I wasn't able to play that sophomore year because of the injury. I probably would have been one of the older players, kind of the one of the captains, and that took a toll on me emotionally. But thankfully, I was strong spiritually and helped me get through it. And then you look at, your close friends and family, your teammates, your coaches, and those people that really helped you get along through it. So I know it's kind of a long-winded answer, but you have all those people you rely on. And obviously at BC, we had a team priest, Father Tony Penna, who worked with the hockey team for several years, and he was a big part of that. We would meet every week during that time, and I don't really feel like my faith was tested because I've never questioned my faith, but you kind of wonder in the back of your mind, am I going to be the same player? Am I going to have a great junior year? Kind of like the future is a little, I'm someone that likes to be able to predict the future and plan everything. So it put me a little unease. And I'm really thankful for that experience because it taught me to grow up and just kind of value the non-hockey side of my life a lot more.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned about the priest because my thinking was, well, Boston College being a Jesuit institution, of course, he didn't have to go far to find a Catholic church. I'm sure there's one on campus, but there you were saying, well, we actually had a priest that was assigned to the team on a regular basis.
Yeah, so Father T, we used to call him. He was great. He would, pretty much he would travel with us on the road. We would do Sunday masses if we were, because you play Sundays at 3. We would do a mass right at 8 a.m. before 9 o'clock breakfast, and guys would come into his office and meet with him or have lunch with him once a week. And I was really religious, but some of my teammates who maybe weren't, he would just kind of talk about life and kind of. He was a big part of helping one of my good teammates get confirmed. So he did a various a bunch of jobs for the team, and he was a big part of the program that they had built there for a few years.
Nice. Folks, I have said it before, when I have a guest on the show who has been drafted into one of North America's four major pro sports league, I just can't get enough of hearing the story of draft day and them getting their name called. They definitely want Steven to revisit that day for us, as well as the odd fashion in which he got his first NHL goal. By the way, Steven said that he went to a Catholic high school, John F. Kennedy Catholic High School, and of course, we just talked about Boston College and the fact that that's a Jesuit institution. If you are listening closely, you sense that that Catholic education was important to him. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is a proud sponsor of Catholic Sports Radio, and when you become a member of Alliance Catholic Credit Union, you are helping to support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide over $50,000 in scholarships every year to families, Catholic high school students, and young people pursuing a college degree. By becoming a friend of the foundation, you help support this work and are eligible to take advantage of all the benefits offered by Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholic.com. Alliance Catholic Credit Union, a financial home for Catholics where banking feels like a blessing. Federally insured by NCUA. And please be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Okay, folks, you got me. If you've been listening for a long time, thank you, of course. But you, in all likelihood, know that I live in the Tampa Bay area. So to be speaking to someone who I watched play this season for our Tampa Bay Lightning is obviously pretty darn cool. I do my best to mix it up week after week, month after month, with male and female guests, different sports, different levels of sport, different roles that guests have in sport. Some people might say that I overthink it, but I am trying to put us all in a position to hear testimony from a wide array of guests. That is just one of the elements that goes into me doing that facet of running this ministry. Although Catholic Sports Radio is something I do in response to a calling to serve, there is still a great deal that goes into bringing these conversations to listeners each week. If you do enjoy what I am doing, if you see value in this ministry, if it is helping you in your faith life, if you like this mix of faith and sports, I would ask you to prayerfully consider supporting these efforts as part of your tithing. You can do so via the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That method is fast, it is easy, and it is secure. It will allow you to use your credit card, debit card, or even PayPal, and you type in whatever amount you want. There is no drop-down list of amounts to choose from. Alternatively, and this is probably attractive to those who do not like putting credit card information on the internet, you can write to me through the website, social media, or by emailing me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net for information on sending a check through the mail. And then, as you have heard me do, when guests or listeners have made a contribution, with your permission, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, or as some have asked me to do, you can direct me to keep it anonymous. I am grateful for your prayerful consideration to include this ministry as part of your tithing, as I continue working to bring us all closer to Jesus through the mix of faith and sports. Stephen, what about it? Take us back almost 13 years to June 30th, 2013, and the NHL draft that was being held in New Jersey. That's who would end up drafting you. Tell us the story of that exciting day.
Yeah, obviously, like you said, it was 13 years ago, so it is a little bit of a blur. It's an exciting time as an 18-year-old kid. Like you mentioned, we went through that U18 World Championships in Russia, and then you come home, you go through the draft combine, you graduate high school, you do all the draft preparation, and then thankfully for me, being a New York kid, it was in Jersey, and I had so many friends and family there to enjoy that experience with them. When you're sitting there, you're very on edge, especially as the first round comes and goes, and you're sitting in through the second round. You have this pit in your stomach of, it's kind of an irrational thought, but am I ever going to get drafted? Is someone ever going to take me? And obviously, we knew we had interviewed well, my agent and I, we knew we had interviewed well with New Jersey several times. And so when they kind of had the pick, I think we both kind of looked at each other like, this is it. And to be drafted to the home team that was hosting it was also very cool.
Here is another significant date in your career, January 12th, 2017. Tell the audience what happened that night and how it occurred.
That was my first NHL goal, yeah. as you alluded to, it was a unique first goal. We were in Edmonton the first year that they had built the new beautiful arena that they have up there with their passionate fan base. And it was the return of Taylor Hall. For the hockey fans who know, it was a big blockbuster trade, Adam Larson for Taylor Hall that prior summer. And with time ticking down the second period, Taylor Hall shot one off my elbow and in for a goal, which they originally gave to him, and the crowd actually cheered because he was kind of a hometown favorite. And then when we came back out for the third period, they changed it to my goal, and I got booed on my first goal because they wanted it to be Taylor's goal. But that was pretty cool. Probably not how I envisioned my first goal going in, but I'll take it.
Is he not currently playing with the Hurricanes, I believe?
He is, yeah. He's, as of this interview, they're still playing. So, it's been fun to watch him.
Wow. Over the years, you have dealt with getting traded, joining other organizations as a free agent, splitting time between the NHL and the American Hockey League. How has your faith life held up through all the trials and tribulations of being a pro hockey player?
I love that question because I kind of get asked this, and I always just find for me, and I can name a ton of cities we've been in, whether it's, Syracuse, Tampa, Milwaukee, I can go on and on. There's always a Catholic church somewhere nearby. And even on the road in today's world of Google Maps and Uber, you can find a Catholic church on the road. This year I was able to go in, Calgary, Cleveland, handful of cities I've been to this year. Wow. So, you can keep up with it as much as you want. If you want to go to church, you're going to find a church to go to. Mm. So I think for me, when the schedule allows, I try to go as much as I can. And it's always a fun feeling for me because I always invite guys on my team, and there's probably maybe two or three guys that wouldn't think to go or wouldn't want to go by themselves. No, they'll say, hey, yeah, I want to come. So it's always fun to be able to do that and, encourage guys to go to church, especially on the road. And I think in today's world, it's not that hard to keep up as long as you know the schedule and you can kind of plan ahead. It's easy to go to Mass and keep your faith is always an important thing for us and our family.
Okay, I've got a flurry of follow-up questions that are flowing into my head, and let me see if I can keep them all straight. So the first one is, you said inviting, maybe there's two or three guys that go with you. Other Catholics, or have you seen guys who are just Christian that are not Catholic say, "Yeah, I'll come with you"?
Yeah, I've seen a handful of both. I definitely have teammates who are Christian who will just go to mass because they believe in God and they want to, hear a good homily, and obviously they don't receive, but they just kind of enjoy the experience. But I would say there's in Syracuse, we had a handful of Catholic guys who, we'd end up just running to in church on Sundays with, my wife and kids. And it's actually cool to see them kind of build a sense of community away from home because, most of them aren't married, they're kind of younger. So to get them kind of out of their shell going to mass is a pretty cool feeling.
So the other follow-up question is, to be doing this on a Sunday morning, I guess I'm going to say on the road, is there not a structure that prevents you from doing this? I'm rather surprised that it is that easy for you to do it. I would think that the team has such a schedule in the morning between the morning skate, maybe a team breakfast, things of that nature, that you'd go, "I'd love to go to mass, but there's just no room for us to."
Yeah, so usually you can kind of plan ahead. You'll get an itinerary before the road trip, and then you can kind of just look on the maps of where churches are. I think the most important thing is just kind of planning ahead. So if we play on Sunday, usually we play at like 3. So if you can find a mass that, in the 8, 9, 10 range,
I see.
or sometimes like you can find a mass that has a, a later Saturday as kind of your Sunday vigil mass. So if you can kind of plan ahead and just kind of know where you're going, I think it's easier than you think.
I see. I see. Are there any, gosh, I hate to use the word rituals. I think you understand the spirit with which I'm asking this, but pregame spiritual behaviors that you go through. I always say a decade of the rosary in the locker room, or I pray an entire rosary on the drive to the rink. Anything like that, I wear a cross necklace under my jersey.
I usually say a prayer at the house or the hotel before I leave, and then I usually say one right before I start getting my gear on, when I'm kind of visualizing. But we actually had an incident 2 seasons ago where we were having a ton of injuries, and our coach actually said a team prayer and lit some spiritual candles to
Wow.
have God bless our locker room from all the injuries we were having. So
Wow.
that was a fun experience we had a few years ago. Not the injuries, but the team
Of
prayer
course.
aspect.
Yeah. And on a related note, I was just about to ask you, the church going aside, present day in 2026, how much do you or don't you see faith being displayed openly among teammates and maybe even with coaching staffs?
From my experiences in the locker rooms I've been in, most guys are pretty open about their religion. I think a lot of guys, wear the cross chains. A lot of guys have tattoos of crosses or Bible verses. So I would say, it's probably about 50-50 of people that don't really have an interest in religion, and the other half that are, pretty open that they believe in God and they are proud of their faith.
Speaking of present day, you are 31 years old now and are coming up on 13 years since you were chosen in the NHL draft. Perhaps this is advice to leave the audience with, but what do you feel has been the biggest help in maturing as your career has gone along? And I'm sure seeing things so much differently now at 31 than you did 10 years ago at 21.
I could go all different directions with that, but for me, if I look at my career over the last 13 years since I was drafted, I definitely have a much better work-life balance. When you're younger, you're so focused on, yourself and hockey and then being married and having 2 children, you learn that life is not about you and your hockey career. I still take what I do really seriously. I work hard. I compete hard. I do the best I can. I want to do the best by myself and my teammates. But at the end of the day, my kids, they don't care if I win or lose. My wife, it's not fair to her if I come home in a bad mood after a bad game. So you definitely just don't ride as many ups and downs. You're probably a little bit more even keeled, and then you just separate that work and life much easier after, being a pro for 10, 11 years.
Yeah, that reminds me a lot of the conversation that I had with Mark Wegner, who is a umpire in Major League Baseball. This was back in December. And he said on this show that when he gets home from work, they don't care that he just came from doing a Yankees Red Sox game. All they know is dad's home. Someone needs to pick up the kids. Go get in the car line.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I get that a lot. I had, we were down in Tampa this year and I was shooting on Andre Vasilevsky. It was kind of like an optional practice day and I wasn't playing and my son was at the rink with me. And he was more interested in folding laundry and towels with the trainers than watching me shoot on one of the best goalies in the world. But he just loved coming to work with me. That's all he cared about. He was just around dad. So I totally understand where he's coming from on that.
So cool. So cool. So on that note, let's wind down by having you tell us about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made.
Yeah, well, my wife and I met my freshman year of high school at Kennedy Catholic.
Wow.
She was born and raised Catholic. She went to Catholic school, 1 through 12. We've been dating ever since. So we've been, dating, engaged, or married throughout the last 16 years. And all the stuff you've mentioned, she's been along for the ride for. And I'm really, really thankful for that. I'm thankful that we both share the same interest in religion and, we send our kids to Catholic schools. That's a big, big part of our parenting style. And we enjoy going to mass together on Sundays. And like you said, I've been through a lot of ups and downs through the last handful of years. And just having her be the consistent factor in my life has really just been a blessing.
And is it two children, a boy and a girl? And what are their ages?
Yeah, my son is 6. He'll be 7 this summer. And then my daughter just turned 4. So my son's in first grade and then my daughter's in pre-K 3.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Stephen, wonderful to have you on the show. God bless you and your family. Thank you ever so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Audience, it's fitting that we close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer. So let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, today is game day, and I place myself in your loving hands. Help me to be a good sport. I pray that I do not seek individual glory or accolades, but rather that I play for your glory and for the good of my team. I pray that all who play this game today are protected from physical harm. And my Lord, help me to accept the bad breaks as part of the game. I pray that I play to the best of my ability and to give honor to you by accepting my position and my place in the lineup. Loving God, I pray for those who watch from the stands, that they too give glory to you by accepting, without prejudice, the rules and decisions of the game today. May their hearts be filled with joy and gladness that you have given them the ultimate gifts they watch this day, the players. Dear God, I pray for the coaches and referees, that they too experience your loving guidance in the decisions they make today, for those who work behind the scenes to make this day enjoyable, and for the founders and supporters. Finally, I pray to you, loving God, that you enjoy this game today and bestow on each of us wisdom and acceptance, no matter the outcome of the final score. With you in our hearts, we are all winners. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.